Hey friends, welcome to It's All Happening with Amanda, a weekly podcast that dives deep into your favorite reality TV shows. With help from my special guests, we break down the most shocking, controversial, and heartfelt moments from Bravo and beyond. In the words of Aviva Drescher, I say what I mean, but I never say it mean. Grab a fancy AF cocktail and get ready for me to mention it all. Hey friends, it has been so long since I came on and recorded a little intro before my guest comes out, but I just have to get some things off my chest. Now that we are in March, every day I look at the date and I'm like, we are getting so close to that 1 year fuckiversary of COVID taking over our lives. And sometimes it's like so hard for me to even wrap my brain around it. This year has been a complete disaster in so many ways. But one of the things that has really gotten me through it all is this Bravo community and this podcast and talking to all of you guys. And I never would have expected to have this a year ago. And now I genuinely cannot imagine it not being here and it not being part of my life. So thank you for taking this journey with me. Thank you for listening and sending me messages and hyping me up all the time. I really, truly mean that. Last year around this time, I really just needed something to take my mind off of the state of the world. And one of the things that really just brought me so much joy was listening to Ryan Bailey's podcast, So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. And so the fact that he is a guest this week on It's All Happening is kind of blowing my mind. I mean it when I say I am a fan of every single person who has been a guest on this podcast. I never ask anyone to be a guest who I don't look up to, like admire their work, laugh at their jokes, and like genuinely love talking to them and want them to be here. But I think there's just something different, something even more about having someone on as a guest that was like a really big inspiration to me and probably one of the biggest reasons, along with Kelly Laguna Biatch, for me even having the idea to start this thing in the first place, which is why I was so incredibly excited to talk to him. We talk about Summer House, we talk about Salt Lake City, we talk about Housewives All-Stars, and I also get like a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like being a pop culture and Bravo podcaster. You know, he's been at this a little bit longer than me and his podcast is really killing it. So like all the advice that he can give, I'm here for it. And I know you guys are going to love everything he has to say. Honestly, I could have talked to Ryan for like 500 hours, but he had so much to do on his to-do list app that he downloaded. He had to make his bed and go drink water like Carl. He's really been inspired by him. Speaking of inspirations, I feel like my head is spinning right now because there's been so much news this week. So I just want to talk about a couple of news stories before we bring Ryan out. So first of all, Hilaria, or how do you say it? Hilaria? I don't even know. Hillary Baldwin and Alec Baldwin randomly just had like a sixth or a seventh baby 5 months after the last one arrived with zero explanation. Like no one knows where this baby came from, which by the way, adopted, surrogacy, totally support it, totally love it. As long as they didn't like steal the baby, I'm fine with that. And I support the idea of keeping it private until, you know, it all went through. I totally get that. But this woman has been lying to us so much lately that everything she does feels like it's manipulation. Like, I just want to know the truth. It's wild. It's blowing my mind. Another thing that's been really wild lately is Bachelor Nation. Rachel Lindsay actually had to deactivate her Instagram because she was experiencing so much harassment, which is unacceptable. It's despicable. And by the way, Rachel Lindsay hasn't done shit wrong. So that's insane. And if you haven't been following the entire mess with Taylor Nolan, you can go to Not Skinny, Not Fat has a lot of information in her stories, although I'm not sure if it's like still there, but check that out. And you can also go to Call Us Sorry on Instagram, which is the account I started with my friend Priscilla, who you might know from Bonjour Bitches blog. we post nonsensical, obvious blinds, imitations of horrible apologies, and really just like the content that we are too embarrassed to put on our other social media platforms, we post on there. Anyway, so you can go to Call Us Sorry and hear our rendition of Taylor Nolan's Sorry Not Sorry. I also have some personal news to share, and I figured this was just the best way to do it. After this episode of It's All Happening with Amanda, we're going to be going on a short break. There will not be another new episode coming out until at least March 20th. And I've been trying to like pump out some content so you'd have some stuff to catch up on during the break. And the reason why there's not going to be an episode for a couple of weeks is because I've been going through some health procedures, which require me to be in doctor's appointments every single morning and doing evening injections, and I'm still working, and it's just a lot with the time commitment, with the editing and the recording and everything. So the podcast is going on a short break, but I'm not leaving Instagram, and you're still going to hear me make a few guest appearances. And I will also be on Clubhouse this Tuesday with my Clubhouse crew, the DMV Dolls and Donnie, at 8 p.m. Eastern. And if you aren't following me over there, I'm at Amanda Page on Clubhouse. My username on Instagram was too long. They wouldn't let me use it. So I know it's so confusing. I have like 500 different names, but follow me at Amanda Page on Clubhouse. And if you follow me, you'll be notified when I'm speaking in a room. So you'll just be able to come on in and listen. And Clubhouse is awesome if you haven't been in it yet, because it's basically like a live podcast. The audio doesn't save, so you really have to be there, you know? And yeah, so don't miss it. This Tuesday, we're going to be doing every other Tuesday, but it's this coming Tuesday, and it's at 8 p.m. Eastern, so check it out. And as always, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at It's All Happening X, because I will post any announcements of guest appearances on podcasts where you can find me. I'm not going to announce anything until, like, you know, the actual podcast makes an announcement. So follow me there so you can find out more information. Anyway, this has been so much longer than I planned, and I know you're here for the bad boy of podcasting himself. So let's go ahead and bring out Ryan. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into another episode of It's All Happening with Amanda. I'm Amanda Page, and this week I have an incredible guest. I have been looking forward to the day that I could somehow trick him into agreeing to come on here since before It's All Happening was even a reality. His podcast is delightful. His Instagram content is chaotic and hilarious, and I am certain you already love him. Please welcome Ryan Bailey, the host of the pop culture podcast, So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Hi, Ryan.
Am I genuinely trapped? Did you trap me? Do I need to get out? Help me. Is anybody listening? Can anybody help me? Like, please help me. No, this is crazy. No, this is great. I'm so happy. You know, it's so funny because I hate that I'm starting to get, I hate that I know myself, and I hate that I'm getting known as really disorganized, but it's just the fact of the matter. Like, there's no, like, it's so sad. Like, it's, I've like this, I'm so blessed to have like people that like follow me on Instagram, and I read a good third of my DMs, and I want people to keep DMing me, but I'm not even trying to be an a-hole. I'm psychologically unwell, because like sometimes it's like I'll see it and then I couldn't even explain. You don't have 2 hours for me to explain my deep pathos and hatred for myself. So it's like, I get so stressed out sometimes, but then I want it. Anyways, I remember saying yes to this podcast like 6 months ago, and then somehow I forgot about, well, no, we never set on a date.
Yeah. We never set up a date. It was just like, hey, would you come sometime? And you're like, yeah, totally. And then I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
By the way, and then I was on Oh No Bravo's Live, and somebody said that about me being disorganized or something. And I was like, here's my phone number. This is my phone number. Just text me. I'll get the text. And you did, you texted me, and it worked, because at this point, I don't even know, I'm not trying to ever ignore anybody unless you hate me. And then I'm definitely trying to ignore you, but like I like when people give me more, well, that, cause that's what I would do. If I don't get something answered, I would be like, oh, this person hates me. And it's just, for me, it's like never that. It's like, oh no, I hate myself and I'm completely disorganized, you know?
So I work with kids who like need executive functioning help. And like, I know this path of once you've put something off for so long, it's really hard to attack that. So if you have like unread messages.
Do you want me to come be like a sharing for your kids? Like, this is what happens. You'll eventually have a daily podcast and you're going to hate yourself. Like, I mean, I could be the after of like what happens when you don't attack things immediately.
You have to check your DMs every single day, kids. Otherwise, it's going to get out of control. Well,
and that's the thing. It's like, I have DMs that haven't been checked from 6 months ago. So in my head, every morning in my head, I'm like, okay, let's get this. Today's the day. You go through all of it. And I'll answer like 100. And then I just get like too scared or too to like, because it just never. And by the way, I'm not trying to sound like you're allowed to cuss on here, right?
Oh, yes, please.
I'm not trying to sound like an asshole. Believe me, I'm not. I don't think I'm cool. I don't think I'm anything. But it is one of those things, like you want people to DM you and then they DM you and then you can't keep it up with it. Like, it's like so, and it's like just the biggest metaphor for my life, or, you know, as Teresa would say, an analogy, or Jackie would say an analogy. I don't know. But yeah, it's anyways, I'm sorry to everybody. I'm sorry to even new people that don't know me. I'm sorry to you.
Have you thought about turning off the option of doing a story reply? Because I feel like that.
No, because I want people. That's the dark, disturbed nature of myself, is that I want people. I. It's the only time I genuinely like people is when they're in my DMs. Like, I hate the real world. I like the world that I've created in terms of podcasting and social media, and my internet friends are so much better than real life. You know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's my only life now after the last year.
Well, I think what probably happened is like your account just got out of control. Like, it grew faster than what you were probably prepared for. So you need to get an intern who can handle your social media, but then like still read them out loud to you. So it's not like somebody speaking for you. You know what I mean? That would be the
yeah. I mean, I guess they would never be able to emulate my personal touch of not replying and being disorganized. You know, like, will you misspell every third thing? That's the other thing on Instagram. Everybody makes fun of my grammar. And it's like, I'm on Instagram. If I could do proper grammar, I'd be writing books. Like, you think if I had proper grammar, you think I'd be messing around on Instagram? Are you kidding me?
The funniest thing is like when I realize that my meme has something spelled wrong or the grammar's wrong. But once I get the first like, I'm like, there's no going back. I'll never get that like back. I will never fix it. It stays the way that it is.
It is tough. It is very tough to go back after that, you know?
So I'm really excited to talk about Summer House, but I want to talk to you more about your podcast. Cause like I said, I've been dying to have you come on here. I feel like I am Jackie and you are Teresa. And last year I was at your book signing and now I'm on Real Housewives in New Jersey with you. So like, I need to pick your brain, but I promise I won't try to ruin your life. I'm not here to take your job.
Life is already ruined. It is like, you're fine. You're good. You cannot do anything at this point.
So you recently switched from one podcast episode a week that was like 5 hours long to four a week, right? Four a week. Monday. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Well, I it's been five a week just because I threw on a couple recaps at the end of the week for like Salt Lake. Cause I just had to talk about it. I did solo recaps. So it's like five a week. Yeah.
And I assumed that they were going to be much shorter.
Yeah, I did too. You're right. You're right.
So how are you managing this? How are you managing this time? Because sometimes your shorter episodes are still like twice as long as mine. So how do you?
Well, here's the deal. I'm doing it all wrong. Like I'm doing it. Well, here, like I was doing one like that was like super long, and that didn't even mean to be super long. Like I started wanting to just do a regular podcast, and then it just kind of like. And I didn't even think I could do that. And then I got into it and like people were so fat. Everybody was so good to talk to. Everybody, it was just like, I don't like having conversations in my real life. But if you turn on a mic, it's like way easier to have a conversation. And it like, so I really fell in love with the process of that. And then it became like during quarantine, then it was like, well, I'm going to talk to a couple people a week and I'm just going to make one long like radio shows. You know, I always say I'm a huge fan of Howard Stern. I'm a huge fan of talk radio. And those were like 4 to 5 hour shows that I would always have just on in the background. And my initial thought was like, yeah, like I'll bring my parents on, I'll put music in it, I'll do little comedy bits or things that I find funny. And this is when I actually had a regular job too. So I would be up till like 3 or 4 in the morning editing, because I always had a bad computer, and the editing, when you're editing that large of a file, there would be so many just mess ups, and I'm not like tech savvy. So it was so much touch and go and so much failure and so much, but like it never, and to this day, like it means, I think it's really easy to say that things don't mean anything to you all the time. And this means everything to me. So, and also I do have a habit of like giving up on things or throughout my whole life. So this is just something that I'm like, no, I will put the pedal to the metal. And I might even, you know, the scary thing is like, you know, you do run into that risk of exhausting your audience. And that is a very, you know, and that's why I say none of these are evergreen. There's going to be one coming up the next day. Never feel like it's not like a TV show where you need to, you know, I want everybody to feel like they're listening to a conversation with two friends that love pop culture, that love the stuff they love. There's something for everybody. And I want that to be kind of the vibe of the whole thing. And I think that part of it really works. But every time I even, like today, I was supposed to do an hour interview this morning. It turned out to be an hour and a half. Yesterday turned out to be an hour and 45. I thought it'd be an hour 15. It always goes much farther, but part of that's just then greedy because I'm having a good time. And I really, truly geek out not only Bravo, but all of pop culture. And this has been something since I was a little kid. This isn't something that I'm playing house and like, this is something I just fell into. Like I've memorized box office figures from like age 5 years old and up. Like I know stuff that like, I don't even know why I know. And a lot of us do. That's, you know, there's so many beautiful minds out there. But now it's kind of like, well, maybe this is why, maybe this podcast is why, or maybe this podcast is why. And then it leads me to something else. I'm probably over talking. This is why my podcasts are long. No, it's just, you know, my thing is, this is really, I feel like, and I know this isn't true physically, but sometimes it feels like, well, this is my last shot to do something of note with my life. And you'd be like, well, it's just a podcast. Who cares? But it, like I said, it does matter to me. It's not just a podcast to me. These aren't just people I talk to. These are people I love. These are people I admire. These are people I grow to love. These are people I have a connection with. And I want that audience to have that same connection. Like I want people to feel like they know me, you know? And so everything's tied into this for me.
Yeah. You know how people always say, oh, well, if you love what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. It's like, you finally actually know what it is that those people are talking about, that you get to do something that you actually care about, that means something to you. And it doesn't feel like work. It feels like you're actually enjoying what you do and people are happy. Like people love your show. I heard when Chelsea came on last week from Ono Bravo, she was talking about how you just have such a good way of interacting with your guests, which I think is really true. I feel like you also just do a good job with your solo segments. Like you can carry like an hour long by yourself in addition to having guests on. And I feel like that's rare because most people have like their strength. For me, I'm not a solo act. I am like, I want to have somebody to talk to all the time. So that's what I love about your show is it has like such a good balance.
You would think, yeah, no, and thank you for that. That's amazing. But when I first started, that's what I was talking about this last week or something. I remember I talked to Danny Pellegrino and my friend Hannah, who I knew at the time. And I just didn't think I could ever talk by myself. I was like, okay, I can do a guest thing, but you know, and then and Hannah was like, oh, try it. And I did like a 15 minute test and I sent it to Hannah and maybe Danny, I think. And I was like, does this make sense? And it did. They're like, yes, it did. It's, you know, it's funny and stuff. And I was like, okay. And it really did. It was a great surprise to me and still is. And it's like really somebody who struggled with confidence his whole life. It has given me a lot more confidence in my thoughts and my feelings. But also I just always want to point out to everybody. And I think in the Bravo universe or anything, these are just my thoughts and opinions. Everybody is so welcome to their own thoughts. Like that is what makes all of this go round. Like I do not give a rip about Jackie and Teresa in terms of like, you can be Teresa's side all day long. You're not going to hurt me. Like I can hate Lisa Rinna and Jack till the cows come home. If you don't, I mean, I think that's the wrong opinion, but like, by all means, like have your opinion. Like, I think that it's so silly. Like there's not one person that's like, well, that's that on that, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, I think the thing is too, that when you're doing your solo segments, it really feels like you're talking with the people listening. Because like I said, I've been a fan of your podcast since before I had mine. So I would listen, I would be like a loyal listener. And I really did feel like Like I knew you, even though I had never talked to you before because of the way that you joke with the listeners and stuff like that. So I feel like that is just, I don't know. That's, I've just,
well, that's what I want. I mean, that's, my favorite thing. The one thing I would always try to do, and I still, I mean, it's, I had one today, this happened, where is that you just want to get yourself to a point where you're laughing at, even at yourself. Like that's like so many of those, like I do a Garth Brooks or a Justin Bieber thing. And it made me laugh so much in the moment. And I didn't plan on it. Or there was one time I was reading Yelp reviews for Sir and it was so bad. And there was like, it was insane. And these things would usually be recorded at 2 or 3 in the morning when I'm so dead tired that it would make me laugh. But then today this happened, tomorrow's interview, is with this account BBF Bravo. She does a lot of deep dives and stuff, but I had seen on her account that it was Jax had written pretty much a flippin' love letter to Randall.
I have it. I was going to read it to you if you,
it was, I read it out loud, the whole thing. And I lost my mind because here he is posting the worst photos of Britney while pregnant. Like I think Britney is like, fine, great looking, fine, whatever. But like, I know enough. I don't have a baby. I'm not married, but I even know you get approval from the girl with the photos. He's taking photos from behind. He's taking photos from like the weirdest angles. And then he, on top of it, then really posts a love letter to Randall Emmett that I've never seen for Britney. Like, I mean, it's like, I mean, the most where it keeps going, where it's like, it keeps going to so much where you're like, okay, this is nice. And then it gets uncomfortable. Then it's like, okay, well now it's a little funny. And then it gets uncomfortable again. And then it just keeps going. And I'm like, this is so sad. And so Jax,
if you were Randall, wouldn't you like file a restraining order after this point? Like it's honestly,
well, that almost takes away any credibility I ever gave Randall to begin with. Cause you're like, this guy loves to get his ass licked. Like, it's like, yeah, Jax has moved into Valley Village, but he's also moved directly into Randall Emmett's asshole. And it must be so spacious in there because he spends so much time directly up it. And, you know, supposedly BBF Bravo said like, he's either acting in Randall's movie now, or he's like Randall gave him producer credit because he's now posting things of like set life and like, you know, him out on set.
Well,
can you imagine Jax giving you a note on set?
I know that you're blocked. I'm blocked too, obviously. So you probably just get sent these screenshots from people all the time. But yeah, he posts pictures where like he's in the very corner of it because he needs to get Robert De Niro's like chair with his name on it, like in the shot. And he's like, oh, great day at work. I'm like,
wait. He's working on a set with Robert De Niro?
He's on a set with Robert De Niro. And the caption, okay,
is the caption like, look at me, dad, with Robert De Niro?
Basically.
He genuinely thinks his dad has an Instagram account in heaven. Like, and I'm not saying that like Instagram doesn't exist in heaven, but I'm saying the amount he brings up his dad in heaven on his accounts is like, his dad probably is in heaven if heaven exists, but it's like, I don't think dad's paying attention to social media. If people in heaven are paying attention to social media, we got a big problem with heaven. Like heaven is not what I thought it would be, you know?
Okay, but I hope to God there's Instagram in heaven. If I die and there's not Instagram in heaven, what the hell am I gonna do?
If I have to worry about like my posts getting likes in heaven, I'm screwed. Like if I'm gonna be like, like the only thing I want in heaven is access to my TiVo, my DVR, is if I can catch up on all the, like, I'll finally watch The Crown and I'll watch all the crap that I've been putting off. And like, that's the same thing with prison. Like heaven and prison are the same. If prison ends up having Netflix eventually, I'll kill somebody. Like I'll straight up murder somebody and go to prison. If they have Netflix and I can use it anytime I want, like then I just like, I'm ready to give up on life. Let's do this. You know,
I will only go if I get Netflix plus Hulu plus Disney plus, because now I'm into WandaVision and I can't imagine.
I love Wanda. I really love WandaVision. I'm really sad that that's the last episode is this week, because I really, really grew to really love that.
I'm only on episode 5, so no spoilers, but I'm super into it. Like I did not think I was going to like it, but I had my friend Kendrick from Me and You, the Housewives and Marvel 2 podcast. I always have to practice the name because it's like, it's longer than yours, actually, his podcast name, and way more complicated. But I had him on my podcast and we talked about Captain America. It was my first Marvel adventure ever. I'd never seen a Marvel movie. And he told me about WandaVision and I'm super into it. I did not expect to geek out like this because I'm just not really into like superhero type things, but I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, I love superheroes. And I think, and I've been meaning Kendrick, I've He's another one that I've said yes to his podcast or, you know, it's like, he's definitely, hi Kendrick, if you're listening, text me, you have my number. I think there's a lot of crossover actually with superheroes and housewives, or it's the same kind of fan base and idolatry. You know, I believe in Batman as much as I believe in Ramona Singer, you know, like they're iconic figures, and you know, it's the same kind of dramatics and same kind of theatrics. So it's not as crazy as I think both inspire wild fandom. So they live in more of this, a similar universe than you would think.
That's true. And I tend to like a little bit of a villain, and people are like, how could you love Kenya Moore? Like, how could you? People get so upset about it, but I think it's similar to kind of like how people like a villain on something like a superhero movie where you're not, yeah, of course you don't want them to be your friend, but you want to kind of root for them sometimes in the movie. So
I was just thinking about, you know, cause kind of, it's not even a bit, cause I really do hate Jax. Is that I was, somebody, I posted something mean about Jax. I mean, I do it every week, and somebody wrote, why do you do this so much or something? And I was just like, and it was one of those sad things. Cause it's like, I want to point out to people, it's like, yes, I'm the sad one here, regardless if Jax is an asshole or not. I am the sad one. This is a sad joke. In the end, I'm the sad one. But at the same time, when somebody points it out like that, there is that moment where you read it and you're like, why did I post this? Like,
why do I care?
Why do I keep doing this? Because it's not like it's something that genuinely fires off in my brain of like, I need to get this out there as quickly as possible, you know, and it is always usually Jax or Khloe Kardashian or something. And it's like, I don't foresee it stopping. It's very real, but I love those moments when you realize you're like, I'm in this so deep now. Like I'm in this so deep to the point where like, so there's deep. I would say 95% of the people really get humor out of a joke, but there's that 5% of like, now it's like, what's genuinely wrong with him, Ryan? Like what's wrong with him? Like he's obviously spiraling, you know, like I kind of appreciate that angle of it as well, of somebody going, this man's disturbed. Oh yeah. One lady wrote me once. Why do you always make fun of Jax and Khloe and your podcast sucks. And I was like, I agree. My podcast sucks. I will continue to make fun of Jax and Khloe. Yeah. But imagine being that mad. Imagine being that mad of going like, oh, this guy's another Khloe post. Oh, like imagine having that kind of reaction to anything on Instagram where you're just like, oh, I've got to let him know, you know?
It's like so simple. If they just mute you or unfollow you or just keep scrolling, it's not a big deal. But
The simple thing is never social media.
I wrote down a question that it seems like you kind of get stuck on this hatred of Jax Taylor. And I have to wonder, do you think you're going to miss him? Like, are you going to miss him being on the show? Like, is that part of you kind of like...
Yeah, my dad brought that up. My dad, you know, I made him watch a couple episodes of Vanderpump Rules, and he said, you need Jax, you need the villain, which we talked about, you know, there's always a villain and you need those. I think with Jax though, it kind of crossed to be, Jax is representative of so many things that I just find a great injustice of in my world and America in general, where you're just like, liars succeed, you know, people that are, you know, say they're remorseful, but then they never act remorseful. The people that don't put in the work, you know, the people that constantly say, well, woe is me, everything is broken, but you know, my brain is bruised, but they never actually put in the work. We found out even on the reunion that Randall had bought him, his best friend Randall, bought him a therapy session that he never showed up for. Like, you know, but then you have somebody like Ariana going to therapy, taking medication. And then, you know, for me, it got kind of crossed over into a personal thing because I do know Ariana and Tom a little bit. And it was like, like somebody that makes fun of mental health, then at the end of the season says he has something wrong in his head. And then somebody that makes fun of sexuality, but then at the same time, we're pretty much like he was probably gay for pay at a certain point. So I think those kind of he's a hypocrite. And he was just very representative of a lot of things. And I feel like he was Trumpian in a way. There was a lot of things going into one person. And the reality of that situation is he might not be even a third of the asshole I think he is. But what, you know, usually, you know, I come from an acting background, is the camera, like I say, has this kind of weird miracle thing about it, is that it's like alchemy. It can pick up the thoughts behind your eyes. You know, you can complain about a bad edit, but those are still images of you, you know, like you can do Frankenstein editing where you're cutting words and making it form a certain sentence. But most of the time it is picking up a certain type of person, and the camera usually doesn't lie as much as the person being filmed would want it to. And that's a very painful thing for these people to probably have to deal with, of like, holy shit, am I like that? Like Jen Shah, even on Salt Lake, I still wonder, like, did you watch the season, Jen? Like, you were the most aggressive, angry person. And so at one point I was watching that third part of the reunion and really taking what she said seriously of, you know, it's very, you know, it's so harmful to be called a bully, but then at the same time, really feeling like, yo, are you, am I being gaslit right now? Because you were one of the most aggressive characters I've seen in Housewives history. Like, do we ever take responsibility for our own behavior? And of course, reality is a microcosm of our own things, because I think part of my hatred of Jax is a hatred of me. Like I notice sometimes myself, I will not take responsibility when I should. I think we all will shirk responsibility. Like, do we ever have anybody anymore say, I did you wrong, I am so sorry, this is completely my fault, and I will not pass the buck on to anyone else? Do we have that anymore?
The problem is that, and I learned this in like child development classes and stuff, that that behavior has to be modeled at a really young age from parents or from caregivers or whoever, teachers it can be. So if a child never hears someone else take responsibility, if it's not modeled for them, they won't know how to. So as a teacher for me, and you know, as a hopefully future parent, like that's something I have to keep in mind, is like, if you mess up, even if you messed up to a kid and you're like, well, I'm the adult, I can do whatever I want. That's not true. You have to admit it, because that's teaching them how to be a decent human being. And it's, I don't know about Jax's family. I don't know anything about his parents, but if that wasn't modeled to him, he has no idea how to do it. He doesn't have the skills. And that's sad, because now he's with Brittany and he's going to have a child, and he needs to be able to do that so that his child grows up and knows how to do that.
Well, you said, well, you miss him. And that was my thought, was like, I was talking today about him and I was like, oh, I'm almost now like would kind of want to see the first year of parenting. Like I would now, I'm kind of curious if I'm right. And if he is going to make Brittany do everything, complain, bitch and moan that he's not getting attention, I almost now like, I want to be proven wrong or I want to be proven right. And I'm like, damn it. He's going to have the edit on his Instagram. He's going to be able to paint it any way, you know, he wants to paint it. And I'm like, we're not going to get the real, like, I almost now kind of want to give him a show where we, you know, but I've been asking everybody this, what is your bet on how far into this baby's life do we get a skin on skin Jackson baby photo?
Oh my gosh. Probably like day one.
Hour one. He's going to rip that baby right out of Brittany's like the umbilical. Like, we have to cut the umbilical cord, sir. Sorry, I'm getting the gram. It's for the gram. Randall, look at what I did, Randall.
The way that he talks about Brittany's pregnancy as if he's pregnant, it's honestly like it's sick. He acts like he's doing all of the labor, he's doing everything. And the thing is with Brittany, it's like you get to a point where you don't even really feel bad for someone who knew exactly what she was getting into. Like I remember him saying on camera in the Secrets Revealed episode that he's not going to do anything to help this baby. He's like, you're in charge, I'm not gonna, he was like, you're gonna leave the baby alone with me. I'm like, that's your child. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's so exciting. I mean, but when is the baby due? Like, I feel like this has been forever, but I don't know, but I've never really bothered to, let me consult my calendar. Okay. Brittany got pregnant.
The sad thing is that I actually know this, that her and Sheena are like 11 days apart in their due date, which is wild. And I know Sheena's like eight.
So we
weeks
have like
away.
Still have oh yeah, we still have 2 months.
I know. I had Sheena on my podcast last week and she was like 8 weeks from delivery or 9 weeks from delivery.
Wait,
at the time.
Did you have to get approval from Bravo for that?
Yes, I did. And so
was the rep on the phone with you guys?
No, we didn't talk about the show, so that helped, because we just talked about her fertility journey and her pregnancy and stuff like that. So I didn't even say the word Bravo. I was too nervous to say anything I wasn't supposed to say, but I did have to get approval.
Wouldn't it be amazing if she did give birth in that alleyway? That's what I was thinking about yesterday. I was like, that would save the show. That would be like, first episode back, Sheena delivers in the Sur alleyway. I would be like, we're back, you know, like, could you imagine if like Peter's out there is like, you got tables, you know, and then like Tom, they run over. And I just have this huge I'm just so scared that the show is just going to live in my fan fiction, you know, dreams that I make up about it, you know?
Oh my gosh, that would be insane. So you've had some Vanderpump people on your podcast recently. What has it been like? Because I feel like your podcast is just exploding. You've been getting people from Bravo on. So what has it been like for you still wanting to maintain that like ability to say whatever about whoever, but then knowing that you're going to have them on your show? Like, how do you balance that?
Because I don't know. I'm really learning to balance it, and I'm sure I'm finding out it's all about relationships. It's all about pushing myself outside of my comfort zone to even ask it's always been a thing. I'm always scared to like, I don't want to use anybody. Like I really do get weird about like trying to push myself forward. I hate that I have to put a post every day about the podcast. I get icky feelings about that. I don't love it because it just so much is tied up into it, but I do believe in the podcast. So I know I want to promote it, but the Luke interview I did with Summer House Luke, I was really nervous, not nervous. I was weirded out going into it because I didn't necessarily like Luke. And I knew that I couldn't, they didn't give me like what I could ask and what I couldn't ask. They just said, well, no spoilers. But then the Bravo rep, the times I've been doing it lately, they've been on with us. So they'll let me know if I'm on a bad avenue or something, or I have to take something out, which I've had to do a couple times. But then sometimes I wish they would let me know right off top, because if I had known I could get away with what I, a couple things that Luke answered, I thought I was going to have to take out. And then I didn't, I would have gone further. Like, it's one of these weird things of when you're in the interview, of this balancing act of being able to like have a plan or be prepared enough to be able to then throw it away and go on a different course if you get the high sign that it's okay. But I feel like there's just like a couple different interview techniques when you get in there and this has always served me well. And this is kind of true, as like, if I can play as much of the fool as possible, and I don't mean like, but if you can play like just a good natured person, that's like, oh my God, like, I'm like just talking to you like a person to person and not, hey, tell us a little bit about Hannah somewhere else, like Ryan Seacrest or something. If you can, I try to just be as enthusiastic as I actually am in that moment. And that usually will disarm people enough, and then if you get far enough into the interview, the big thing is to say, okay, well, this was so great, thank you so much, and then go, oh my God, I just forgot, remember this, remember that thing with Hannah, did you really met, like throw it, because usually they'll disarm once they hear that the interview's almost over. They'll, like wrapping up, this is Luke, this is, and then slide one of those in right there, and they're usually so disarmed that they will answer it immediately. So it's like
okay, thanks Sheena, by the way, is Vanderpump Rules filming soon?
Yeah. And I would have done like, oh, and by the way, is and also we look forward to seeing you on the new season of Vanderpump Rules. I'm not supposed to bring that up. Well, hopefully the new season will be soon. And then usually they have to feel like they need to say something, because all of these people by the end, like, are usually actors or something anyways, and we all want to talk.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like Sheena is someone who I could have pressed harder too. Like, she said a couple of times that because she's moving back to LA for when her baby is born. And there was a couple times she said something about her work being in LA. And I wanted to be like, where do you work? Like, do you work at Sir? Like, what do you mean? But you just never know like what you can say, what you can't say. And I feel like it's hard in the beginning, but I think more practice probably.
Yeah, I mean, that really is. I think it's like I go into every experience now, is it like, with that Malcolm Gladwell book, it's like 10,000 hours to become proficient at anything, to become like a master of something, is like you put 10,000 hours at, whether it be the Beatles or Mozart, these people put 10,000 hours in of this, and then you can become like a master of something. So I always think about that. And it's like, it's all about like at bats. I'm not a sports person, unless you're a sports documentary I love, but like, it's all getting at bats. Like, each interview, whether it's good or bad, is just another one under your wing where, it's like going uphill with weights on. Eventually you can take those weights off and move faster up the hill. Never takes away the hill. The hill will always be there. I will always be somewhat nervous or trepidatious going into any interview, including this one. But then it's just more practice. You get to learn things about other people and yourself. And it's just like, what I would imagine tennis partners or sports with a partner is like, you know, it's like you get to like make somebody else look good, you know?
Yeah. Well, you do a good job with that. I heard Chelsea say that about your Luke interview, and it's really true because before you had Luke on, I was not on Team Hannah. I have always been suspicious of her and the whole Luke situation. I really just did not, I didn't vibe with her about this. There was something off, but I didn't like Luke. I have like a hard and fast rule that like, I don't trust anyone who like whips out an acoustic guitar and starts playing it. Like, I'm just like, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
And so Luke, I've always been a little bit like, no, but when I heard him on your podcast, it kind of like, I don't know, it made him feel more like a human to me. And I'm like, oh, he is a real person. And he does have feelings.
That's what it made him feel like, more of a human to me as well. You know, like it made me almost feel not bad for him, because I don't feel bad for really great looking people, you know, like, I mean, like, but you know, the guitar thing is a perfect example. Like, this guy is so good looking that ladies have let him feel like he's played the, like, wow, you're really good at that. Like, no,
he's like even strumming one chord
on the interview. He was like, oh, I'm just so upset. I'm so upset they got me like this, cause you can play better. That's my horrible
listening.
He said, you know, they always get me playing bad. And it's like, and I'm like, well, yeah, because probably the times you're playing really good is when girls are telling you you're playing good, but you're playing the same. It's just you're alone in your room and you're watching it back. It's the same way as him making jewelry. I was like, how did you make jewelry? He's like, well, I went in my garage and I was banging around and I just, you know, and then my, you know, this girl I was dating said it was good. And I'm like, if I went in and banged around in the garage about something, people would be like, oh no, Ryan, you know, Ryan's being a slow adult self again. Like, you know, like he's banging into shit. And like, Luke's like, oh, you should do this full time. Like, women are like, oh, another talent for Luke, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think that he is someone who, no matter what he does, people are going to be into it. But it's similar to Carl. Like, you know, Carl drinks water. Oh my God, Carl drinks water. Like, look at him. He's an amazing person.
It even
worked
for me. I was like, I have a to-do app thing that like reminds me to do like basic shit I should have learned decades ago. Like, brush my teeth. It's like make bed like Carl. And I have forgot to make my bed like Carl today. I've done it the last 6 days and I've won off. But like Carl inspired me to do that. And it's like it's basic shit. And that's all men do. All we are good for is basic shit, you know?
Sorry, but I will say though that like it seems so silly, but the Carl talking about his routine of making his bed every day and making sure he drinks enough water, like that is the kind of thing where if you're struggling with your mental health and like, you know, like really getting out of like a black hole, those routine, those little things like making your bed really do make such a big difference. Like I feel completely at ease when my bed is made, but if my bed is like a mess, like Sierra's bed, my whole day is a mess. So it's like a real thing.
Sierra is one of those, like Sierra is so perfect on this show that most of us look past the insane messy bed. Like if you saw that insane messy bed on, you know, say like Griselda, one of like an ugly stepsister, you'd be like, oh, she's completely psychotic. Like, oh my God, what a loser. But it's like, oh, Sierra, well, she's a nurse and she's pretty and those are real boobs. And like, you know, like it's totally fine. She has a serial killer bed, you know?
I am so obsessed with her. I think she's the perfect addition. And I hate to say this about Hannah because I'm sure anyone who meets Sierra is like, oh yeah, she's a really cool chick. But I just get the vibe that Hannah is like using her. And it's just making me like,
I mean, it's not
upset.
Even a vibe. I think it's fully the fact that where Hannah, and this is another, but cause like I'm friendly with Hannah and she's been on the podcast before. And I got to say like, it was really disappointing to kind of sort of like, you know, like somebody and like what they're trying to do with their life and then see them on the show. And I'm like, I totally dislike what you're doing on this season of Summer House and try to like marry that. Okay. Reality show and real person and where those two meet. But she like the minute she knew Luke was messing around with her, she went directly in with the girls, but directly nailed all of her comments to Sierra. Cause she's like, I'm not going to get him. He's not going to get you. And I'm going to like, and literally even in this last episode, after the fight with Kyle and Amanda went down, he, you know, she's out there. Sierra comes out and she's like, I'm just so glad you're here. And
there's
like no tears in her eyes. It was weird.
I wanted to throw my phone at the TV when she's like, I'm so glad you're here. I'm like, are you kidding me? It just, to me, it seemed so disingenuous. And like, I don't know about you, but I know you have an acting background and you were an acting coach. So like, Maybe you watch these shows with like a little bit more insight than me, but like, do you get a sense that she's faking it, or do you think like faking it for the show or faking it for her relationship with Luke? Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's a difference there. So what do you think?
I think faking for the relationship with Luke. I don't think faking, I mean, I think regardless, it's always, you know, you got to assume that there's 10% faking for the show across the board, even if they're not being told to fake it for the show. Mm-hmm. They're always going to have that kind of sub tissue layer of, we realize we're on TV. There's no doubt that I think that when they're in the heat of a fight, they're like, well, you know, I'm already pissed. Fuck it. I'll take it to the next level. You know, fuck this then. Because they're actually angry, but like they also, I think, you know, if you have more than two seasons under your belt, you'll also realize you're being filmed and okay, good. They got this, you know, like congrats producers. You got this to work with. And so, but Hannah, it struck me as like Hannah probably has been, and I hate to say this, has probably been doing things like this her entire life of using her emotions to potentially either take something away from somebody else or to get what she wants. I mean, everything is a tactic in life. Everything can be a manipulation if you want it to be. But, you know, humans do tactics. And if anger is not working, then you switch to tears. Then you switch to begging, you know, and you see Hannah cycle through some of those. I do have a feeling, though, Sierra is smarter, is a very smart woman. And I do believe she will catch on to this. I mean, I really even think it's going to be too much because even in the moment, I'm like, okay, Hannah's being annoying as F. Like, does not, I mean, I know Kyle's up on his high horse, but this is starting to get extreme and it's all the problems in the house are starting to center around one person, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I completely understand Kyle's point of view about the household chores and stuff like that, but he really wasn't, I don't think he was directing it at Hannah. I think he was directing it at the girls that were on that side of the table to begin with. And I think he had a point, but like, her immediately getting so defensive is what caused the issue. And like, I was really happy that Paige seemed to stick up for Kyle and Amanda to Hannah, because like, she could have easily been like, oh my gosh, Kyle's crazy. Like, I totally understand your point of view, but I think she was trying to explain to Hannah, like,
let it go, let it go. You both made your points. You both made your points, let it go. And Paige said, I cannot control this one. She's like running around being a, you know, jackass. Kyle's over with Carl by the fire pit, which by the way, Amanda's in the woods and Danielle goes over to say, don't get a tick in her hair. I'm like, why isn't Kyle comforting Amanda? Like everybody's a loony.
It was crazy. But the thing is that like, I actually felt like Amanda was really upset by what Hannah said because it does drive me crazy. Like, look, we're getting married. Whatever you think about your relationship, every time you're mad at us, you can't throw it in my face. And like, it's not Amanda's fault if Hannah's mad at Kyle, but they just get kind of like lumped in together. And, but Kyle really did. He was giving me Jax Taylor vibes when he's like, you're not coming to my wedding anymore. I was like, oh my God, Kyle. Like, why?
Amanda goes, our wedding. You're not coming to my wedding. And she goes, our wedding.
You're not going to be in my bridal party anymore. I'm like, oh my God.
But having said all of that, I find Summer House so immensely watchable. Even in like, you could just put up four boxes for an hour. Like I like to watch them work with the bad Summer House music behind it. I'm like, oh yeah. Like we're working at little tables. I mean, it's really fun. I don't know. For some reason I love, like I'm thinking about living my life in four boxes. Cause it seems like it just would be so much more fun. I was talking to somebody, I was talking to this girl, Sarah from Us Weekly. And she was telling me about what is popular on Us Weekly sites, like what gets clicks and stuff. And she said last year, Summer House did really good, but Summer House is not, in terms of like people clicking on articles about Summer House this year, so far Summer House is not doing as well. And that really bums me out, you know?
That really makes me upset too. I didn't think I was going to enjoy watching them work, but to me, it's actually a super compelling aspect because like, I feel like this generation and especially the Bravo celebrities that are, you know, kind of in this like reality show space, the juxtaposition of Danielle on like a big tech conference call, like working her ass off, and then Paige laying in bed, like in her pajamas doing front page news. And like, that's their jobs.
There was one shot.
So hilarious.
There was one shot of Paige just scrunched up on a couch and she was just scrolling with like, kind of like a evil smile on her face. And like, that's all of us. That's all of us that live on Instagram is like, so it's very relatable. You know, I know Paige doesn't have much of a story, but you know, even if I've disagreed with some things that Paige has said or her behavior, you can't deny like she's, I would dare say she's as funny, if not funnier, than Hannah. She's got some of the best one lines in there. She really is what you would call cute as a button. I don't personally love some of that kind of snotty behavior she exhibits or can exhibit, but you know, I can see why girls like her, you know?
Yeah. I always found her really funny. And I think the thing between like Hannah and Paige is like, they're very different people. And I feel like some girls can identify more with Hannah. Some girls can identify more with Paige, but I feel like together they're the perfect balance. And I feel like they really found something when they brought them into this cast. And I don't know. I worry about this season with Hannah just because I'm afraid she's going to burn herself out. Like, I'm just seeing she's just getting herself a little bit too in the mix. I'm like, I want to see more Danielle. I want to see more Lindsay and Stravi in the weird, like, mirror angle camera shots. Like,
Lindsay is having the season of a lifetime. Lindsay, but with the how many sandwiches have you made for me, I think should be an iconic line that lives on. And then literally single-handedly or single-fingeredly bringing finger banging back to such an extreme. I really, like, hats off to Lindsay for bringing, like, literally says in the last, like, two episodes ago, like, I wouldn't mind it if you wake me up in the middle night fingering me. I'm like, do women like to be woken up in the middle of the night being fingered? I just can't imagine. Like, I'm sorry, maybe I'm not Mr. Romance, but I've never been like, they just poke at me in the middle of the night when I'm in REM sleep, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a perfect example of like that, like, consent that we're always talking about.
Yeah,
like she's telling him ahead of time, it's allowed. She's giving that verbal consent.
But it seems like if either Stravi or Lindsay, if they like rub up against anything, they're like, ooh, this feels good. And then like seconds later, they're in the bathroom grunting. I'm like, what is going on? You know?
It's so funny because they have like a way different dynamic with being trapped there. Like, they get no outside date time. Cause I feel like in seasons past, so much would happen during the week that we would miss. And then they would have to like recap it on the weekends. So like, I kind of like this situation, and I'm hoping moving forward, they do something more. Like if they continue to at least have like a week or two where they're like stuck in the house together. I don't know. How do you feel about the winter house? Are you going to watch that?
What am I doing? Watch it? Are you? Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Of course I'm going to watch it. Like at this point I'll watch anything. So that doesn't really say anything, but I'm excited to watch it. You know, I really, hats off to Bravo. Like, I think this is exactly the right way to go. And All-Star Housewives. I think all of this, I always say on my get in the game. I have been screaming this since the beginning of this podcast is Bravo. You have made all of these fanatic fans and you're losing them to networks like TLC, to WeTV, to Netflix. You're letting something that you invented go out the window because people are getting smarter than you about how to package things. The 90 Day Fiance universe shouldn't exist, yet it does. And it is trouncing Bravo. Bravo needs to get their head in the game. They have these amazing properties. They have this amazing fan base and amazing characters. Start putting them in different situations. I think this is a no-brainer. I don't think it weakens Bravo's position in anything, or I don't think it weakens the shows. I think it strengthens everything. We are already a Bravo universe, all of us who talk about Bravo. Bravo needs to start acting like it. BravoCon was one step. It was wildly successful. The fact that, you know, maybe it would have done earlier. This would have started earlier if not for COVID. But yeah, like, you know, TLC saw this and just gave all their wacko 90 Day people like GoPros and they're filming themselves. They could have done the same. You're telling me like, I even think Austin could handle knowing how to work a GoPro, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, yes, I'm so going to watch it. I think it is the exact right decision, and they need to throw as many things up, because if not, just how media works is that they are getting surpassed. Netflix has an unlimited budget. They can try as many weird things as possible. That's why you get things like Love is Blind and The Circle and, you know, Bling Empire. They are throwing so much money at it. Bravo does not have that kind of money to throw at these things. So we need to get them. We need to out idea people. We need to out idea people, and we need to use the fan base, which is so much free publicity already for this godforsaken network. And they need to start getting in the game. And I feel like somebody over there is finally listening, and they just need to keep going.
I know. I mean, the cast trips that these women go on Housewives are always so explosive, and they're like my favorite part of the season. So it only makes sense to do like a giant cast trip with people from different franchises. And you know, they have beef with each other. Like these, I am dying to see these women that don't normally get filmed together to see what kind of crazy shit goes down. Who are you like most looking forward to seeing on the All-Stars?
You know, I'm so weird like this. I've been asked like a lot of like, who are my favorite housewives? And to me, it just changes from season to season. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people also that, I mean, maybe this is me in life, is that I'll put up with anything. Like, I mean, I stayed in a relationship way past I should have. Like, so I don't really so much as I care more that they're doing it more than who's in it. Like, I've seen the arguments and the discourse about like, oh, you're putting Kenya and this and that, and this is a mistake, that's a mistake. There's always going to be quarterbacking and or coaching and like, oh, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. The fact that they're doing it is the most important. But I mean, I would love, you got to put Ramona in there. I think, I think she just, not even creates drama, just the intricacies of who she is as a character, I think can really work with anything. I'm trying to think if there's somebody really, I think it'll just be, I was also more of like, just don't put people in, like, don't put Teddy in, don't put like, no, you know, don't put the people that are just like a waste of a human body when you could put somebody interesting, you know?
Right. Because I feel like on a regular season, you need some of that boring, like, voice of reason to kind of like balance it out for a whole season, but not this like limited time frame cast trip. We definitely don't need a Teddy. We don't need a Lover, but we don't need like a Robin Dixon.
No. I mean, there are people that are like, I mean, you could do like, say, a Ramona Sonia, because Sonia is a good, you could compare sometimes Sonia to maybe a Robin in the fact that she doesn't push people's buttons, but she is a button herself. So it's like she will always, and then if you put Ramona and Sonia together, I think that's a really powerful combination. But you can't have a Robin without a Giselle.
Right.
You need that person to activate, like Wonder Twins activate. You need that person to really kind of, even Ramona is probably at her most powerful when she's with Sonia, you know?
Yeah. I think that they're pretty much like a package deal. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Leah, because I got myself in like a Ryan Bailey, Leah McSweeney situation this year, with my relationship.
Did you hook up with Leah?
No. Oh gosh. Okay. No. Okay. No, that, I mean, I would probably, but I kind of got myself in a weird situation where like I was posting a lot about Carl, and you know, everyone loves Carl.
Didn't you get a cameo from Carl?
I did get a cameo from Carl, and that was really sweet. But I my followers, they love me so much that they really got in my head and like started to really convince me that like I was in a relationship with this man. Like we were like headed down the aisle to, and yeah. I'm a married woman. Like I actually am married.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to ask. I was like, wait a sec. I was like, oh no, she's something happened with her.
No. And I would like to stay that way. So I was like, I have to cut things off because you know how it gets.
Oh,
like,
did you break up with Carl without him knowing you guys were going out?
Yes, I did. Oh, I did. Perfect. I broke up with him, but I was like, I need to talk to Ryan about this because
about
I know
that, relationship.
About like, you know, you make a joke a couple times about your crush on a Bravo celebrity, yeah, and then it just spirals out of control to the point where like, I would wake up in the morning, if Carl had posted that day, I would have 25 DMs from people being like, just sending me the post being like, here's the post. I'm like,
yes.
Okay. And then I feel like I need to say something all of the time. And then as soon as I broke up with him on Valentine's Day, crickets. I don't like, I have like no engagement left. It's like people don't care about me anymore. It's so bizarre.
I calmed down on the Leah stuff. Like, well, I mean, I will say like, she was like the perfect quarantine crush because, you know, she was like new and it was kind of like a funny bit, but then I was like, oh, it is funny though. You get enough people, like you say it on the podcast enough, people like do gas you up to the point of like, it really, I could see you guys. I mean, you're a good guy. Like you're a good guy. Like, you know, like right. I am a good guy. But then, then I would actually think to this, and I've talked about this on the podcast, like you'd have conversations with yourself where you're like, dude, you're a Bravo podcaster. There's no way she's like, well, who's this? Well, this is Ryan. How'd you meet? Well, he does a Bravo podcast and he used to talk about really liking me. And so there's just no way in any God's green earth that this would ever happen. Even though I do think I'm an okay guy. I don't think I like, and by the way, she's not into good looking guys. I like, so,
right.
I mean, it's like, you know, I'm not horrible looking, but I'm not like, I feel like seeing the other guys, Leah's been like the fucking guy she brought in from the Red Lion Inn to Dorinda's house. I was like, are you kidding me? The guy, like, he had a stringy beard. And I was just like, oh, well, I'll just go get a job at Red Lion Inn. And hopefully the next time that they're there for a cast trip, I get brought back. Like, that's my wildest dream, is that I get a job at Red Lion. And then all of a sudden, like, Leah brings me back. And all of a sudden, all the Bravo people are like, is that fucking Ryan in Bluestone Manor? Like, and I'm just in there like, what's up? Like,
we would die if that happened.
It is this weird thing, because you do, like, I'm telling you, I would do these podcasts late at night, like 3 a.m, and you would be so like loony. And I remember doing like extended dream scenarios where I would talk out, like, I did like a Say Anything one where I had like a boombox outside of her New York apartment playing like Good as Gold or something. And I would, you know, I said, and then I said, and then I would invite her to go to the podcast awards with me, and I won for best podcast. And then I thanked her in the speech, and it was like really, like, she was really turned on by that. Like you can go down the rabbit hole of that. And the sad thing is, and the thing is, when I lost my job like 5 months ago because of COVID, and I guess somebody, like, my people reached out to her about me, and she sent me like a video thing about like, hey, I'm sorry, I just heard this. And I was like, and it wasn't even a cameo. It was like, actually, like, nobody paid for this. And she was, I just want to make sure you're all right. And then I was like, but, and then I was on Not Skinny, Not Fat was on my podcast. And she was just like, go for it. Get in those DMs. Like, but the thing is, I talk a big thing on the podcast. I don't do shit. Like, I've never... Hey, I don't even know, like, what, how do you properly slide into a DM? Like, hey, what do you do? Like, what do you do in a slide DM?
You probably, like, just go on Raya and like match with her or something. That's what you would probably actually do.
Oh no, this, everybody was like, just go into her DMs. I'm like, what do you say? Like, cause you're like, hey, I like you. Hey, I like you. Like, what do you say? Like, what do you say? Like, hey, I like, cause they were making it say like, do you want, like, I was like, are you telling me to send like a dick pic to Leah McSweeney? Like, could you imagine? I've never sent one in my life. And my first one is to Leah McSweeney, and it just goes incredibly wrong. And then it gets passed around the Bravo universe. And they're like, hey, this is the kid that sent Leah McSweeney a dick pic. He does a daily podcast. Like, it would just like be, it would just not go good, you know?
I know, but the thing is that, like, people get so excited, they will convince you to do anything. Like, the people that would DM me about Carl's stuff, they convinced me. Like, they convinced me that what I was thinking was real. And Chelsea had an intervention with me. She was like, I know you're, like, mostly joking, but, like, the 3% of you that's
Wait,
not joking.
Chelsea told you it wasn't a good look? Chelsea was like, this isn't a good look.
It's just, she's like, you're starting to kind of concern me. Like, the 3% of you that's not joking is, like, getting larger and larger and larger. But I was like, I don't know how Ryan does it, because, like, you seem to, I just admired your ability to scale back. Cause I remember you being like, guys, listen.
I admire, like, your ability. I just, like, realized it wasn't going to happen. And then, you know what? And then I kind of liked Whitney from, I kind of liked Heather from Salt Lake. But then the same thing, you say you like somebody on a podcast, and then everybody's like, you should hook up with Heather. Like, and I'm like, I don't think I'll hook up with anybody just because I say I like, doesn't, like, this is so embarrassing for even the people. I had so many people DM Heather. And in fact, were you on that Kate Casey one where she was with, and I asked her to marry me and she said yes. So we're basically engaged, but I think Heather will be on the podcast eventually, but
exciting.
It is exciting. But then this one girl DM me and was like, hey, are you DTF? And I was like, what? Are you? And she's like, are you down to fuck? She's like, I'm talking to Heather. Are you DTF? And I'm like, what? Like, you're telling Heather, wait, did Heather ask you if I was DTF? Or are you just offering up that I'm DTF? Like, hey, this guy Ryan is DTF. Like, I want to make sure what's getting out there is not like people are just passing around like, this guy is looking to fuck some Bravo Lebs, you know?
I know. That's not what you want to be known for. Like, that's the thing too. That was the thing about Carl, was I was like, okay, but actually, guys, like, I would like to have an actual conversation with him at some point. And if he thinks that I'm just some like crazy stalker, like meme maker who's like obsessed with him, he's never going to talk to me like professionally. So I had to break up with him. It's sad though. It is. It's been hard. It's been a hard transition.
It's hard. The Instagram account's hard having because it's like, I mean, I think there's some solid jokes on my Instagram account and it's like really, I think there's really funny elements to it, but it is like, I'm a silly person, but at the same time, I think sometimes like my interviews, I can do a really serious interview or I can be very serious and I can, you know, and sometimes I'm like, I have a lot of followers and stuff, but like, I don't want ever anybody to go there. Like, he's just going to ask me about fart jokes, you know, like he's like, that's sometimes I'm like, no, I can do a decent interview. I can do a good interview. So the whole thing, this is just constantly, this whole process of podcasting and Instagram is just so much overthinking of everything, you know?
I mean, it's so interesting to hear you say that because for the longest time, so I'm in this group chat and we kind of like encourage each other, like, who are you reaching out to this week? Like, who are you going to try to get on your podcast? And literally like every week I was like, I'm going to ask Ryan Bailey. I'm going to ask him. But then I would like psych myself out to not ask.
That's what it's so funny is that nothing, I mean, I don't want to say nothing, but nothing matters. Like nothing, it's that like that was like something, I don't know if that's really true or not, but it is something that at the end of the day is like, oh yeah, I would have said yes immediately. Like, it's good to hear in the sense that like everything that I think that about everybody, you know, there are people that are on my bucket list that I get so scared to even approach. But as the podcast gets bigger and stuff like that, you realize like, oh my God, there's like an outside shot that I could talk to a lot of really, really interesting people that I would really want to know so much about in terms of like Bravo Universe or pop culture. Like even like yesterday, like I said, today's guest, Sarah Heron, who writes for Us Weekly, she might not be a name where everybody knows who she is, but everybody knows Us Weekly. And to me, that interview meant more than so many interviews because I grew up reading Us Weekly. Like this was something that publication, as silly as it is, meant so much to me. I spent so much time reading that, and to actually be able to talk to somebody about how that all works, like that blew me away, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that you have people on that just really have something to say, even if, like you said, they're not necessarily like the biggest names, but kind of getting like a behind the scenes look at things. And you spoke a little bit ago about having, you know, some more serious topics. And I actually listened to your episode when you had Sophie Ross on about the Armie Hammer stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like you guys did such a good job of like, I mean, you were talking about some like heavy, deep shit. And it's like, it's not fun to talk about that stuff, but it shows the range that you have because sometimes things happen in this pop culture universe that it's not fun to talk about it, but people want to know more. And I thought you did a really good job. I just wanted to tell you that because it's like, normally, you know, I listen in for like, you know, entertainment, funny shit, but like that was a serious topic, but I felt like you guys did a really good job handling that. So
she'll be back on this upcoming Monday actually. And, you know, I really, you know, and we're going to do a couple other serious topics, but I don't know. It's one of those things. This is like such a privilege to do and to be able to talk about things because I genuinely am figuring these things out as I go. Like I don't know the answers sometimes. And I do come from like a basic, like white straight male perspective. And sometimes that is a really dangerous perspective to come from, you know, and I haven't necessarily had to correct any of my thought, but I've had to expand my thinking, you know, like I didn't know so much about Black Lives Matter until this year. I didn't know. For somebody that's primarily has female friends, I didn't know how many women have been sexually assaulted in their lives. I wasn't aware of that, you know, just because I've never sexually assaulted somebody that just made me blissfully ignorant, you know? And then you talk to your friends and they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, like everybody's gotten a dick pic unsolicited. Everybody's, you know, everybody's used to a man pushing themselves on somebody way more than they should have. And that honestly blew me away. That honestly blew me away because I was of the mind of like, oh, since I'm such a pussy and I'll back off and like, you know, then everybody's like me. And you realize that everybody's not. And by the way, that's the other thing. I have definitely my own faults. I'm not saying like, oh, I'm so great. I'm not. I have so many faults. I hide from things. I compartmentalize so many things, you know, but I will say I was kind of shocked to learn. And I would not have really known these things if it weren't for like these in-depth conversations I've had with so many people over this last year and a couple months, you know?
Honestly, I feel like that is the biggest takeaway that I've gotten from doing this podcast and from having the Instagram account. Even earlier today, I reposted somebody else's post that was about gender transitions, like the correct terminology to use for people who are transgender. And it was just like, don't say this person was born a girl. You say this person was assigned female at birth, you know, whatever. So I posted that. And my friend Cece, she reposted it and was like, wow, I actually genuinely did not know that I had been saying something wrong. Even just the other day, I used the incorrect terminology. Now I've learned that. Thank you for sharing. And she posted that for everybody to see. And I was like, that's the perfect example of somebody like admitting when something they did may have offended someone, even if they didn't know it. Like, just if you point it out and then you say, I'm going to make a change moving forward. Those are like the conversations that I'm so grateful for that I've been able to be a part of. And I'm like, when I'm posting these things, I'm not doing it because I'm trying to shame anybody, because I was also you years ago before I met anyone who explained it to me. You know, that's the kind of thing, is it's like, nobody knows everything. We're all just trying to like teach each other. So
yeah. But at the end of the day too, this sounds so serious. And at the end of the day too, what I also want to do is, like, on top of that, provide as many laughs from such a dark, dark year, but it goes hand in hand, you know, with all those laughs, you do have to, and I don't even consider it vegetables or nutrients. It's just something like we're kind of relearning how to treat people with basic decency. And I think after this year, there's so much bottled up anger because we have been bottled up, that everything is kind of exploding and it's so messy. Everything is going to be messy. And especially when you come back to Earth, which we are starting to do because of vaccines and stuff, it's going to be messy. We've dealt with so many growing pains in a very confined space, that this has been one of the weirdest years that the weirdest year I've ever been a part of in my life, and I'm sure in many lives. And I don't know where we go from here, or I go from here. Like, it's so weird. And so when you can put all of your attention onto Bravo or a pop culture thing, it is so comforting. But even there, we're now dealing with the bigger issues coming to Bravo, which just kind of goes to show you that don't escape any of these issues. Like, let them hit you, you know, let them hit you, let them make you uncomfortable, let them change you. Don't fight against it. And I don't mean of like, don't fight against free will or something, but like, we're just basically saying, treat people with basic human decency and go from there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look at this episode of Summer House. Like, it was a fun episode. They were doing their relay races. They were like acting like their ball sacks were like knocking over cans of Lover Boy.
And that taught me so much about ball sacks. It taught me how to treat ball sacks. It taught me how to.
I had never played that game, and I was like, can't wait to try it when I can actually have a party.
Summer House is so fun. They do like fun, like ball sack games and like sliding down slides. I'm like, you can't. Summer House is so cool. I really do love the Summer House.
I love them because I feel like they are not, they don't take themselves too seriously, which I really appreciate. Like, I like how they can really show up and show out for a theme. Whereas, like, not to like compare, but I feel like with Vanderpump, like half the kids, I call them kids, they're older than me. Half the Vanderpump kids like go all out. Like, Tom is really good at that. Tom Sandoval is really good at dealing with the themes and everything like that. Yeah. But then the other half is acting like they don't care about the theme and they don't want to be involved. But within this episode of that like funny shit, we also had Sierra and Danielle on the beach talking about how being two women of color at work, they deal with different experiences than their white male counterparts. And like, it wasn't even a really heavy conversation. It wasn't about anything specific. They were just like, yeah, this is the reality. And I'm glad that the other women seem to be like hearing the conversation. It's like, these are the little things that we can have in the shows that are like sprinkled in to teach people, because some people might not have ever thought about what they go through.
But even me hearing that conversation, I get to hear, you know, Sierra going, yeah, like, people think you always are dressing sultry if you dress like a woman, and, you know, and Daniel was like, yeah, I mean, I have to dress so plain Jane, especially as a, you know, a Mexican-American or of descent, where I, you know, she has to completely dress plain Jane, or, you know, white male people in business will not take her seriously, you know, or she'll have to work, like she said, she's not getting the credit she deserves for working so hard. And that's not just, I mean, that's a woman thing more than so an ethnicity thing. I don't know. It was a really fascinating conversation. I even loved Sierra was like, you know, sometimes it is just great to put on the scrubs and just be, you know, you're just able to not be identified for your looks, which, you know, I mean, I will say though, one day I would just love to be identified for my looks. I mean, it does sound horrible, but at the same time, kind of nice, but you know, so I don't know. I love those little things because they don't hit you over the head with it. It's just like a little aperitif on the way to like a ball sack game, you know?
Right. Exactly. And
it makes you feel better about the ball sack game because you got that. You're like, okay, oh, now we can get back to the ball sack game, you know?
Right. It's like PE class where you're just like fucking around. And then you get to go to like biology and actually learn something about like human anatomy or whatever. So another thing that I noticed about this episode, and I need to get your take on it. So there is apparently this major secret that we finally were able to be let in on during Quarantine House. And that is that hot people work out. That is why they are hot. And I feel like I didn't know that until watching them quarantine and work out every day. And I feel like I've been like let in on the secret. Like I didn't know this.
Yeah, I got like, Carl was like, I drink water and I do, you know, I'm like, okay. But like, I was more obsessed with like, why do they have two rowing machines? A rowing machine is such a weird workout thing. Like, did somebody request a rowing machine? Or like, did somebody like, we have two rowing machines we can donate to you? Like, why not an elliptical machine or a bike? Like two rowing, like I've never used really a rowing machine. So I'm just curious, was that requested? It just seems like such a weird piece of exercise equipment when you could have had an elliptical or a treadmill or a bicycle. So that I was really focused on that rowing machine. But yeah, like Kyle and Carl are lifting weights and Luke's going to lift weights. I don't lift weights. I mean, I should lift weights, I guess. I mean, there's so many. And that's why I talked to Luke because I was also like really upset. I was like, how do you guys deal with the hangovers? Because like last season, they were like getting up to go to SoulCycle the next day, like early morning classes after they'd been like getting hammered. And like just as somebody that likes to get hammered, I was like, I never can wake up and work out like that. I was just like, how do you guys do it? And he's like, oh, brother, man, you know, brother, it, you know, it's brother. No, it kills me, brother. You know, like, I was like, okay, man, like, it's like,
okay, we are not the same, apparently. I don't know. I feel like I need to go to the summer house just for a boot camp. Like these girls are talking about fitting in a workout in the middle of their like meetings. And I will work for like 2 hours in one day and still not find the time to get a workout in. So I don't know what the hell they're doing, but
yeah,
they're doing something right.
No, I mean, I love this for the summer house. It makes me feel good when they party. If they've worked out, I feel like they've earned it. I mean, I just like this show. I know there are faults with this show, but I just don't care. Like I like it. It makes me feel good. Maybe I will think differently, but for right now, I look forward to it. I need it. I yearn for it. You know, it's like something that keeps me going. But even like Hannah, like I don't like Hannah this season, but like, I don't hate Hannah.
Yeah.
I just don't like her this season, you know?
And you're not going to like everybody. That's the thing. And that's what I've been trying to tell people about New Jersey is like, we don't like, you're going to like people and I'm going to like people. We're going to like different people. And it is what it is. Like if you liked everybody on the show, then it probably wouldn't be as fun to watch, right? Like there's sort of conflict.
I do think the upsetting thing with the Jersey though, is they had such a fantastic first episode. And I really think they let the air out of the bag on that second episode is that nobody should be allowed to skip cast trips. I don't give a fuck if you guys are not getting along. You're going on the trip double then. Like nobody gets to decide if they're going on the cast. It shouldn't even be their decision. It should not even be there. You sign up for the show. I do not want to see you cut your kid's hair. Now you made like, I really liked Jackie that first episode. I was like, damn, Jackie knows what's up. And then the second episode is like, Jackie's stupid. Jackie is not a fun enough character by herself. If you get her involved with people, okay, now we're talking. But I don't want to see Jackie's solo journey. Is Jackie on Monique land now? Like, no, I don't. Like, is Jackie going to get a pet bird or something?
I know. Well, that's the thing is I actually felt like they were having fun on the trip. And I was like, okay, well, this would have been different if she had come. But at the same time, like it isn't fair that someone would be able to be like, oh yeah, I'm not going to that. I mean, there has to be something in their contract, right? Like, I know that this is like fourth wall breaking, whatever, to talk about this, but it's like, they're not going on the trip because they're all best friends. They're going on the trip because it's in their contract. They have to go when there's a cast trip, right? I mean, at some point they have to step in and say like, no, you're going, you can't just not go because you're mad.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's this, I keep saying, it's the same thing as Meredith disengaging. Like, hey, one time, that's cute. Two times, okay, you got a little bit of a thing here. Three times, if, as a producer, I'd pull her aside and go, cut the shit. You will not be disengaged. I don't care if disengaging is your thing. You are going, your new thing is going to be, I'm engaging. That's right. Going to be the new Meredith slogan is, I'm engaging. Like, because this disengaging shit, guess what? Like, it's fine for now. It's going to get real old in the second season.
I mean, yeah, like you said, if it happens one time, like, honestly, the, like, I'm not doing this, I'm disengaging, walking away one time thing, I was like, okay, so you have your little gif-able moment, and it's a quote, and we're all going to put it on a t-shirt, whatever. But then, even at the reunion, after months of being able to let this shit go, she's like, why would I talk about anything in this group? It's like, well, then goodbye. Because if you're not going to talk about anything in this group, then what are you doing on Housewives?
It is funny, though, they have so many strong personalities on Utah that it kind of almost works for Meredith, or like, it, I still disagree with it, but she's able to get away with it because it's counterbalance to all of the other very, very strong personalities. Even Whitney, you know, like, you know, Whitney's finding her voice. So I it is, she, but I don't think she can keep getting away with it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the, it does work to Meredith's benefit that I think us, all of us and the women on the show, we're looking at Jen as doing too much, and she's too engaged. And so then we're like, okay, yeah, like, slow it down. So then it doesn't seem so bad for Meredith. But I think Whitney is like the perfect example of someone who does enough. She speaks up enough. She stands up for herself enough, but she doesn't overdo it. She's not like causing problems that don't exist. I actually am huge fan.
I think what you're saying is right, but I want to say that I think you're both right.
I am not a swinger. Swinger.
Like, no, I like on my stripper pole to slide around it and have fun.
I actually really liked Lisa at the reunion, and I never thought that I would, like, I didn't hate her all season, but I just didn't really care that much about her. But at the reunion, I was like, this is exactly what I want in a housewife.
I just don't like, I think she is a mean girl. I think she is. Well, I don't know about necessarily mean girl. I think she is somebody that has always gotten her way, has always been gassed up, like, and is like, you know, done cool shit with her life. But what you're seeing in that reunion is somebody that did not plan on it coming out and her being well received, but, you know, Whitney and Heather being even more well received in certain circles. I don't think she planned on that. And you could tell it really ate at her of like, oh, you know, you can see somebody of like, all of a sudden she is not the number one. Even when she held that little dinner for like business power, like, she invited Meredith, no other ladies, you know, cause she thought Meredith was of her stature, of her, you know, of her ilk. And she really did look down on Whitney and Heather. And for this to, you know, and I think Heather, you know, not fully, but shot herself in the foot a little bit on that third reunion of butting in so much with her divorce. But yeah, I like Lisa. I think she's so good for the show, and I love her sons. I like her husband. I love her sons. And it'll be fun to see where everybody goes with this, because I feel like we are in such an age of memes and social media, how much they take all of that to heart and how much they put it into those scenes. In fact, so much so that I know they're filming now where I wish with Salt Lake, they would put dates up of when scenes were filmed. Like, I wish, like, so we would know which scenes are this past week, because I would love to know how they interacted with each other after all the reunions. Like, if you could read any subtext into any of those scenes, you know?
I would love that too, but I feel like they move things around too much. I mean, at least, like, I know with Kardashians and stuff that they do that. I know it's a completely different animal, but like, if you get too deep in knowing when things happened, people are going to be like, oh, well, they showed that 3 weeks before the other scene. And I know that happened on Beverly Hills with the like Christmas decorations. People were like analyzing Kyle's Christmas tree that was up when Brandy came in and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, I really like this cast. I'm happy that it's staying the same. I keep getting followed and unfollowed by them. So I know that they care about social media. Like they will
They follow and unfollow you?
Yeah, like I've been followed by the Salt Lake City, not all of them, but some of them have followed me like early on, I think, because I thought, you know, like before the show even started. But then if I put up something they don't like, they'll like unfollow me. Then I'll put up something else. They'll follow me again. And I'm like, they seem to really care and pay a lot of attention to social media. It's like a cult, completely different animal with this new age of housewives.
I know Heather follows me because I actually checked on that one, and she'll sometimes she'll sometimes comment on something, and you could tell she's a real Bravo fan because she'll always like my Jax posts. Like she'll actually like regular posts. But I stay away from any of like the insights or like who follows or unfollows me, because I would feel very like, I want to be able to make the cruel jokes I make sometimes and not feel bad about it, because I would feel bad and I don't want to feel bad. So as much as I want everybody to follow me and love me and all that stuff, I realize that is an impossibility. So the more I don't know, the better.
It's honestly just so much easier. Like I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to post it. Like that's the thing though, is I feel like sometimes I feel like this about Jen specifically. It's like, if I follow enough Bravo accounts, maybe they won't say things about me. And then maybe I can control what's being talked about. And like, I don't like that, because I want to be able to say what I want. And I'm not mean. Like I'll say what I mean, but I'm not going to be cruel or whatever. But it's like, I just want to be able to post what I want to post. And I don't want somebody like following me to like affect that. So it's like, they come in, they come out. It just seems like Jen specifically seems to care about social media more than.
Ooh, you know what? I've made a couple mean. I know Jen used to follow me. Let me see if she still does. Because I've posted a couple critical things of Jen. So let me see if she's.
She still follows me. So I don't know. You'll probably be all right.
I'm still followed.
Woo! There you go. Yeah.
I know Tom Schwartz unfollowed me once, and I found that like sad, but I was like, okay, I get it. I go really hard on Jax, who's his buddy, which, you know, if that's your buddy, then I don't know. Aww. I get it.
I know. That's the thing, is like, I try to put myself in their shoes, and I'm like, I wouldn't want to see it. Like and that's why, like, I think when I first started my podcast and my Instagram account, you want to get likes and you know, you want them to follow you. But then you kind of have to keep that like wall up a little bit, because, you know, because you said you consider like Ariana and Tom like a friend, like you have like a relationship with them. And then you're like, oh, it gets kind of like blurry. Like you don't really want to get to that
point.
Yeah.
The more.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any play artistically, I don't think there's any play in trying to become friends with these people. I don't think there's anything healthy or good about that. I don't care. I mean, I want free shit, but I'm never going to beg for free shit. I'm never going to like, cause then I'm indebted to you. You know, if you want to give me free shit, please. But I don't want to, but I have said like, hey, if Jax and Brittany want to give me $10,000, I will stop talking about them. I can easily stop talking about them, but I want $10,000, you know, like, I'm happy to not talk about them anymore. There's plenty of people to talk about, but for that, I mean, I can be bought, but you know, it would be cool for a second, and then it would be annoying. Like somebody told me they made friends with one of the 90 Day Fiance people, or like got friendly with them where they exchanged numbers, and then the dude wouldn't stop texting her. Like wouldn't, like, what? To the point where it was like annoying, where it was like, not like creepy, but it was just like too much. It was like, then it was like, when he was having issues, you know, he was texting her about them. And it's like, all of a sudden she's a subplot on 90 Day Fiance, or feels like one. And it's like, this is not what I signed up for.
Can you imagine if there's like a camera crew outside your house and they're like, we need to get your reaction to Leah McSweeney sending you a naked picture now.
I do wonder if I was on a reality show, what part of my personality they would exacerbate or pick up on. Like, I wonder what it would be like. It always picks you, you know, or I wonder what the storyline would be. I wonder what they would find fascinating. I wonder what part of it that I'm not even aware of that they might pick up on. Those are the things, I mean, I never want to find out, but I am curious what it would be, you know?
That's such a good point, because yeah, like I think there's like a mind fuck when you watch yourself and you're like, that's the few things that they decided to put in the show about me. And I think that's where like some of these women on the reunion, they're like so confused. Like Lisa, she's like, I'm so confused as to how people perceive me different than the way that I see myself. Because like you said, editing, it doesn't change what you do, but the way that they like compile it might just feel different than the way that you see yourself. So I don't know. I would never want to do it. I could never.
We even saw Dorinda, you know, this past season, where a really awful season in a lot of ways. And I would say you watch that and you're like, damn, I might not be an alcoholic, but I definitely have a problem with alcohol. And it really makes me a very potentially bad person in certain scenarios. And, you know, you saw at the reunion, she didn't get it. She did not understand it. She did not even, you know, and it's like, that makes me sad, because it's like, I genuinely like Dorinda on the show. And it's like, you're being shown, this is what you're person. The camera's not lying. The camera is not lying. Editing is like editing. You're still being a drunk asshole. And that's so easy to see, but it's like, we've seen where this road goes too. If you don't learn from your mistakes, if you don't like stop and go, okay, I see this has cost me a couple of things. You know, even just, I remember that trip with Bethany with all her, when she was doing that really the trip where she was like going to like
Puerto Rico pass out, like, or whatever.
Yeah. And like, she got wasted that night before and like, was like all the people at the table. I was like, Dorinda, like that from that would have sobered me up at that point, you know?
That was horrible. That one was, that was bad.
So the things like that frustrate me when they're like, you're getting like free, you're getting a mirror held up to yourself. And like, instead of like just not liking what you see and changing it, you're not liking what you see and then blaming it on other things other than yourself and not doing anything about it. And then just losing the show because of it. You know, she was not asked back.
Yeah. I think Carl, I don't know if I want to say it's because of the show, but I'm sure the show played a part in him working on himself, because he went into this season, really his act was like cleaned up. And I know that he's gone through a lot in his life, but it seems like being able to see what he saw from previous seasons allowed him to kind of like be more introspective and like, look at him now. Like he's really just doing wonderful. And like, I'm really glad that he went into the season in a good space, because we saw how, you know, tragic it was. He lost his brother in the season. And if he had not been in a good place going into that, I don't even know what we would have seen after him getting that news. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I'm just happy that you didn't credit yourself for this. You know, like you can really see in this season where the love of a good woman has changed him. And
oh gosh. But see, then I start to think, I'm like, well, did it? Like, am I the
am I the catalyst? Am I the, this is how like that, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie Misery starts.
No, what is it about?
Wait, you know what? Look into it. You'll see what it's about.
And
you'll
oh see. Gosh.
Basically, this girl has like, she's like in love with this like famous writer. And then he gets into a car accident by her house. And she literally traps him in a bed and like locks him down and nurses him back to health. And then makes him like he killed off her favorite characters in the book. And she makes him like rewrite like a whole story with them alive again and stuff. And like supposedly falls in love with them and then hobbles him. Sorry, spoiler alert, it came out like 20 plus years ago. She like hobbles, like literally hobbles his leg so he can't get anywhere.
I mean, that sounds like a true love story.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So you're like, well, when does it become scary? Yeah.
Right, like, what are you talking about? I did that yesterday. well, this has been so much fun. Thank you for coming on my podcast.
Thanks for having me. You gotta come on mine too. Like, this is a two-way street. So please, you'll have to remind me because I'm so disorganized. But yeah, I think in like 3 weeks, come on, you know, I've got-
I would love that. I would be so happy. So thank you. That would be amazing. Yeah. Where can everyone find your podcast, your Instagram, plug everything? Tell if you have any inside info into like upcoming guests you want to tell us about, let me know.
I don't want to tell you any upcoming guests because I always get scared it'll fall through.
I'm like that too.
Or I don't want people stealing my ideas. I will not be interviewing Bolo. A lot of people have thought that was, Bolo's got a big dong, but I don't think he's a big talker.
No, and I was on Watch What Happens Live last night. The episode
You were one of the guests?
Yes.
I watched that. I didn't, I must not have looked hard, but I was too busy watching Bolo. He barely talked. So I was like, this is not, you know, and that was my suspicion, was like somebody with that massive of a dong probably has never learned how to, never needed to learn how to speak.
No, or talk about it. Like I made the mistake of like, okay. So I said to my husband, I'm like, I'm going to be on TV tonight. Let's watch it. He doesn't watch Bravo. He knows nothing. I didn't warn him what this was going to be about. And I knew Bolo was going to be there. They played the game about like, is his dick bigger than like what? I mentioned none of this. We're sitting there. My husband looks at me and he's like, this is what show you're on? Like, what is this? I didn't even think to warn him. I'm so jaded about all the fruit fucking talk from like the whole week that like, I forgot what we were even talking about. Like I keep forgetting
to make the meme of how it started with Jason Biggs in the cherry pie and then how it's going, Bolo fucking the whatever, the pumpkin or whatever, you know.
I'm going to text you in like 2 hours and remind you to make
please
that,
remind that's me really, of that. Yeah. That's,
or
yeah.
I'm going to go make it myself and put my watermark on it. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I won't do that. No, I'll remind you. But are you going to use a pumpkin? You're going to use a pumpkin?
Well, what is the video I was sent where he was, I thought it was a pump. What was he? There's a video where I've seen him like putting his like horizontally into some piece of fruit.
It's been this whole thing. So like you thought it was a pumpkin. Danny thought it was a melon, like a cantaloupe. I had Steven Faces by Bravo on my podcast earlier this week, and he thought it was a honeydew melon. Taria thought it was a coconut. I don't know what I think, honestly. Like, I don't know what fruit it is.
At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It's not like, oh, well, I guess he doesn't have an extremely large dong. You know, like it doesn't matter what, but I just remember seeing it and going like, but also I was like, is this like, what? I mean, like I was so confused. I was like, okay, like what's the point? Like, do women see that and going like, damn, he's really fucking that fruit good. Like, I mean, weirded out by it. I was like, okay.
It was weird. Anyway, so you're not having Bolo on and but tell everyone where they can find your podcast and your Instagram and all everywhere, Twitter, Clubhouse.
Everywhere. Clubhouse I'm doing. Yeah. I mean, I have an account there. I've listened to a couple. So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey is the podcast. We do episodes Monday through Thursday. Just hit subscribe so it'll show up in your feed. Pick and choose. It really is like whichever ones you like, whichever, you know, go around, see which guests you like. We cover a range of topics, Bravo, pop culture. My parents are on. My parents will be talking Summer House, I think, this week. I made them watch it. So I'm excited to hear their thoughts on Summer House. Instagram, So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Follow it, just silly memes and stuff like that. And then I do a Patreon. You do not need more content from me, but if you do, it's there. I recap this season of Dallas and this season of Summer House is on there. And I started Real Housewives of Miami. So there is like 90 other episodes on there, $5 a month. The only reason I would say, if you're a supporter of mine, go there, throw in a couple bucks a month, because I really am trying to make a go of this, just doing this as my job. And that is not anybody's responsibility to fund me. But if you like what you hear, once you do this, consider doing it. But the times are tough. So the freest thing that you can do for both of us is go smash that 5-star button on It's All Happening. And my podcast, and it really is the freest, easiest thing that you can do. And that does help us in the long run. So that's it.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how big the ratings actually matter, but they really do. So we appreciate every single person who does the 5-star review, and writing the little notes too is really helpful. So, yeah.
But also I would also say, dare to say, if you don't like it, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know, like find another podcast or reach out to the podcaster individually and say, I've had a lot of people actually, not a lot, but like a handful of people reach out and say, well, I didn't like this, or you said this and this. And I really do appreciate the people who do that. Because it does actually, you know, some of the things I'm like, oh, that is a great point, and I didn't mean that way. So thank you for letting me know, rather than just give a bad review, because it really does hurt us. And I think we all put so much time for free into these things. There's only certain litmus for actually if what we're doing works, and that's one of them. So if you can, always reach out to the creator first before you slap a bad review on something that will be public.
Absolutely. And then that allows like a two-way communication. Because if somebody has something that I said, I would like to be able to talk to them about it and say, oh, I apologize for that or whatever it is, or ask a follow-up question. So yes, please.
Also, people aren't going to like everybody. Like, not everybody's going to like me, and that's totally unacceptable. No, it's totally fine. Well, it's totally fine. But I'm saying there's so many podcasts out there. It's like, don't stop and hate on the ones you don't like. Just go find the one that you love and hang there, because there is so much out there for everybody for free. Everybody can be a part of this. Everybody will have their own podcast one day. So
We're basically there.
Podcast listeners, you know, my listeners are just really dope and like really awesome, and they take care of me, and it's a two-way street. So I would just say do the same thing for Amanda. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. And where are you doing your Twilight information? Because
Oh yeah. That's over on you can see it on my highlight reel of like me watching them, but I do it over on Annabelle DeSisto's podcast called Adderall and Compliments. It's a Dear Media production, but we've done the entire Twilight franchise, and we're going to do the 50 Shades of Grey franchise next on my podcast. Oh. So I think we start that in a couple of weeks. I can actually tease that. I've never seen 50 Shades of Grey. So we'll watch that and recap those movies. Cause I hear there's a pivotal moment with a butt plug in it. So I'm very excited for my listeners to go through that journey with me, you know?
Yeah. Buckle up. I was like a hate watcher of 50 Shades. I read all the books and like, I complained about it the entire time. But it's one of those things that you just have to experience it. But we have been on this journey, this Twilight journey with you. And I have a bone to pick with you about it, because you caused all this chaos on Ono Bravo Live. We were all in the comments fighting over Team Edward, Team Jacob. And it's all because of you, like all because of your Twilight viewing. And you would have thought
team the table.
You would have thought we were talking about Potomac season 5. Like, it got like really heated for a minute there. I was like, oh shit. People are really
this fighting over Edward and Jacob is just like fighting about the weather. It's so dumb. And it is so, and by the way, they're both losers.
Everyone loses.
Like, I mean, like everybody loses in these movies. I have wasted so much time talking about those movies, watching those movies. The fact, like, you know, everybody talks about like Scientology and Nixium as cults. Fucking Twilight's a cult. The fact that there was like a mass delusion 10 years ago that these were like good books and good movies, like that is like, that needs to be more looked into. Like Stephanie Meyer needs to be brought up on charges and needs to be in jail with like Keith Raniere, because it is just as dangerous what she did to everybody, you know?
It all comes full circle, because you know she is Mormon, so like she, you know, Utah,
I'm well aware. Yes, and that's why everything, and she writes like a child. She writes like and Bella's the most perfect girl that ever existed. And then she's a vampire and she's the most perfect vampire that ever existed. And then they had a baby and I don't know how to be creative. So I'll jam two names together that don't belong together and call it Renesmee. Like, it is so bizarre. Like, it's the worst. And then somebody sent me a thing where people were actually naming their kids Renesmee. And I'm like, this is so dumb.
Oh, that's so bad. It's so bad. It's good. Just wait until you get to 50 Shades of Grey, because the writing is so... Well, wait, you're not reading the books, so it's okay. In the books, she says this one line all the time. She talks about her inner goddess, and she talks about how her inner goddess is doing like backflips. It's honestly the most cringy shit. Like, just be glad you're not reading this. It's literally the worst. Okay, well, I can't wait to go listen to your Twilight recap, because I'm interested in hearing your theories on my favorite thing to hate watch. So thank you so much, Ryan. This has been the best
time.
This
is great. This has been a blast. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for listening to It's All Happening. Remember to subscribe to my podcast and leave a 5-star review. If you have nothing nice to say, my DMs are always open. Please follow me on Instagram at @itsallhappeningx and on Twitter @happening_pod. Until next time.